Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are in a crisis, and I tell you this. We better take this coronavirus, COVID-19, serious. Absolutely serious. Because I believe that it will kill you, especially black folks. Especially black folks. And it's doing that. We have over 41,000 people who have died from the virus. Over 41,000 people have died from this virus. And it's serious. It's serious. Stay in the house. Stay focused. Especially brown and black people. I think this virus was set up to target brown and black people. United States took the patent out for this virus in 2018. That's right. The United States of America took this patent out in 2018. I believe that they was going to use this against black people. And they needed a scapegoat. That's why they claimed the Chinese was responsible. I don't believe it. They said the United States Army went to China for a sports game. And that's how it got into China. I believe that this country would do anything. Those of you who are out there, I don't tell anybody how to vote, except if you're in my city. But if anybody who votes for Trump, something really got to be seriously wrong with you. Anybody. I can't see a reason in the world to vote for that madman. He's the worst leader. He's the worst president in the United States. He's the worst that this country have ever had. Woodrow Wilson was bad. He was a known racist. But he's not as bad as this guy. I classify him with Adolf Hitler. But Adolf Hitler had brains. This guy don't have any brain. He's a dummy. He's pitiful. Type to spew out hate. It was in Lansing, Michigan. They claimed more than 2,000, but it wasn't that many. I don't even believe it was 500. 300. But the news media is working with them. Good cop, bad cop. That's exactly what's going on. They're playing good cop, bad cop with the people. You see, anytime that you have a country that's willing to put people in cages and think it's okay, we have a problem. Anytime that you have a country that willing to kill people, you got a problem. Trump says less than 100,000 people get died from this here in America. He done a good job. You are absolutely wrong. You could have prevented this from being what it is today, but you failed. You failed the people here in these United States. You're a failure. You was a failure all along, even before this virus came about. But it is unfortunate that the people don't see it. They don't, I mean, their minds are all foggy and stuff. And the stimulus package that you're getting, that's your money. You're going to have to put it on your income tax next year. You're going to pay for that $1,200. It's peanuts. It's your money. Why do we allow these people to continue to do what we need to do? We need a revolution, a real one. And I'm telling people now, get your arms together. They're coming. I have asked the Chinese to supply arms to our community because we're going to need it. Think about this for a second. We're about to have a real revolution, and it could be bloody. It could be bloody. They're killing black folks even today. If it's not the cops killing them, it's this virus killing them. I lost three friends. Three. And I'm just one person. I lost three friends because of this virus. This virus will kill you. Stay in the house until this thing clears. You cannot go out there because I don't know how you can get it. If someone can talk to you and you can get this virus, I see a problem with that. If you talk to someone who has a cold, will you catch their cold? I mean, I have seen stuff that I am so ashamed of. I can't believe what they're telling people. But we are dying. 41,000 people have died. It might be even more now. And let me talk about the prison system. In Michigan prison system, over 400 cases. A friend of mine died just last week. Well, this week. Yes, Thursday. He died Thursday. He was in Lakeland Correctional Facility here in Michigan. He died. We have to do something. We have to do something. We can no longer sit at home and do nothing. We have to go out here and make sure we're safe. Wear your mask, wear your gloves. Because this thing is airborne. I can't see it no other way. I also want to talk about Jessica Gray. She's been missing since December 1st. We believe that Willie Lark Jr. shot her four times and killed her and got rid of the body. I'm offering a $750 reward to locate the body. We can't make the Sheriff's Department, we can't make the Benton Township Police Department, we can't make the FBI and the State Police arrest this guy. Put some money up and see or make sure that we can locate the body. I'm asking for closure for the Gray family. We must find the body. Crucial that we find the body of Jessica Gray. There was blood found in the house where Willie Lark lived. There was blood found on the front door, Jessica Gray blood. And there was blood found in front of the house, Jessica Gray blood. There was blood found in the automobile that he drove to Columbus, Ohio in, Jessica Gray blood, yet there's no arrest. So if anybody who's listening have any information in reference to Jessica Gray, where we can find her, please contact me at 269-369-8257. And on that note, I want to bring in my good friend from Texas. He was on last week. He has such an incredible story. And I'm going to get to my buddy Lee today. I'm going to make sure that we get him in here and talk a little bit about what's going on with him. Because to me, that is important. We have to make sure we're doing all the things that we need to do to solve some of these major issues. But I say to everybody today that coronavirus is serious. I know it was made in the laboratories, and it's designed to do what it's doing now. I know what you say. The United States government would never do this to people, would never do this to the rest of the world. But the power to be would do anything. They would even kill you. Yes, that's correct. You are expendable. Every single person is expendable to accomplish what these billionaires, what the power to be, the evil empire, wants to do. You have to protect yourself. And if nothing else, you have to protect your family, your children, your husband, your wife. You have to go out here and protect them, because they're coming. This is just the first wave. This is just the first wave. So let's get out here and do what we need to do. Let's take care of our business. And this is something we can do. I'm going to bring in my good friend Jesse. And Jesse is from Texas. And went to school here in Michigan. I believe it's Michigan State. He can correct me if I'm wrong. He was working on his law degree. And then it started happening. But I'm here to tell you, this government will do anything. If they're willing to put children in the cages, if they're willing to put innocent people into prisons, they would do anything. On that note, Jesse, are you there? Talk to me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor, for being an angel. And can you hear me okay, sir?
I can hear you extremely well. You're talking good. You're sounding good. Talk to me.
Thank you, sir. It wasn't the Michigan State School. It was basically the Thomas M. Cooley in Lansing, Michigan, sir. And if you don't mind, I'm going to briefly recap what I say last week, and then I'm going to continue.
Okay.
And thank you.
That's why I got you all.
Thank you, sir. Basically, I've been homebound for more than 7 years with a life-threatening electrosensitivity, exposure to the same radiation reaching children at school, including the microwave radiation emitted by cell phones and cell towers, and wireless computers, causes me, among other things, swelling of vital organs and swelling of face, head, and eyes, flu and allergy symptoms, rashes and loss of skin, symptoms of heart attack and a stroke, and a speech, concentration, and breathing problems. I have been violently ill several times. At times, I struggle to breathe even with oxygen. I'm sleep deprived and in pain all the time. This is a horrible way to die. My electrosensitivity has been recognized by federal and state agencies and by courts as a physical health condition and as a disability. Electrosensitivity is reaching pandemic proportions without people knowing. Experts are warning that without knowing, more than 50% of the population are now exhibiting symptoms of electrosensitivity. Children, teachers, doctors, attorneys, and even a now former director of the World Health Organization are suffering of electrosensitivity. You can look at wearetheevidence.org, wearetheevidence.org. It is a website by an attorney that is suffering of this condition. Despite that children are being exposed to microwave radiation that causes harm even to adults, despite of the more than 20 peer-reviewed scientific studies of the harm that can be caused by exposure to radiation, and despite that electrosensitivity is reaching pandemic proportions, most doctors are in the dark or in denial and continue misdiagnosing, mismedicating, and mistreating the harm caused on children by exposure to microwave radiation. Sorry about my rooster. Recently, a medical doctor testified to the Massachusetts legislature how if her children had not been diagnosed with electrosensitivity, her children could have spent the rest of their lives misdiagnosed, mismedicated, and mistreated for the harm caused on them by exposure to the microwave radiation at school. How her son, because of his aggressiveness, could have spent the rest of his life on a mental hospital, and how her children are the tip of the iceberg of the millions of children that are now being misdiagnosed, mismedicated, and mistreated for the harm caused by the microwave radiation at school. Now, why the existence of electrosensitivity, it is of vital significance for all people, especially children? Electrosensitivity proves conclusively that the ability of the human body to tolerate exposure to microwave radiation and other radiation is limited. Proves conclusively that chronic exposure to microwave radiation is inherently harmful even to adults. It proves conclusively that without knowing, the microwave radiation is maiming and torturing children to death. It proves conclusively that without knowing, millions of people, including children, are now suffering from electrosensitivity. It proves conclusively that a massive medical malpractice and a massive Medicaid and Medicare fraud aren't used to conceal the harm being caused on children and other people by exposure to microwave radiation, and proves conclusively that the use of directed radiation for surveillance, including satellite surveillance, are being used to maim and torture those who denounce government corruption and under the excuse of national security. Last week, I explained how in my second year of law school, I was subjected to a government-sponsored bullying and to a radiation surveillance which caused me the electrosensitivity and other severe harm. And in retaliation for denouncing how the law school officials committed fraud on millions of dollars of federal funds while giving law degrees to those affiliated with the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. I also explain how the bullying and the radiation aggressions follow me from Michigan to my hometown in Texas, and how I caught a guy from Lansing, Michigan, following me in my hometown, Mission, Texas, and I explain how the chief of police refused to investigate my claims of bullying and radiation aggression against myself and my children after he was told that I was the target of a CIA investigation. Government-sponsored bullying, high-speed road harassment has caused many fatalities in this area. Children have been picked up dead from the pavement. When I was able to drive, I was subjected to pervasive high-speed road harassment, and several times I saw accidents in which people were injured. Several times I complained to police how the bullies that engaged in high-speed road harassment had children standing up on the front seats. During a time that I was subjected to this pervasive road harassment, three children were picked up dead from the pavement on this area. At another time, when I was subjected to high-speed road harassment, three people died on a high-speed crash. One of the persons that died in that accident had the same name of the person from Michigan that had been following me in Mission, Texas. The other person that died was the daughter of the chief of police. The other person that was killed on that accident appeared to be one of the drivers that had engaged in high-speed road harassment when I had my kids on board. Another example of the evil radiation assaults against children, which was documented in federal court, occurred when my son was 5 years old. During that time, my kid, my wife, and myself were sitting on the kitchen table while my son was looking out the window. All of a sudden, I felt the familiar strong flash of radiation. At the same time, my son screamed and started to cry in pain. Within seconds, one side of her face around his eyes started getting purple, like he had been hit with a blunt object. My wife appeared to be in shock, watching what had happened and just repeating, "It is not possible, so much evil. It is not possible, so much evil." The pictures became part of the federal record on a federal lawsuit. An NSA attorney with security clearance representing victims of the radiation aggressions in Cuba has publicly claimed that directed radiation weapons have been used for decades. Evidence on the record proves that 10 federal judges, including the latest appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, committed fraud on their court to conceal how, under the excuse of national security, radiation surveillance is being used to maim, torture, and lynch unsuspecting victims, including children, and even on the privacy of their own home. After the Texas agency denied my application for a doctor-prescribed shielding room for rehabilitation of my electrosensitivity and to conceal the legitimacy of my condition, I filed a federal lawsuit. On a hearing before the court, the federal court, the then Texas Attorney General and now the Governor of Texas did not deny that to conceal the legitimacy of my electrosensitivity as a physical condition and as a disability, a doctor committed falsification of records. On the same hearing, he did not deny that his agents removed from my application record, among other evidence, a decision by the Social Security finding my electromagnetic sensitivity a severe impairment, pictures of the harm caused by exposure to radiation, including swelling of face, and how the swelling inside my skull is so severe as to push an eye out of its socket. And also remove an interview in which the then director of the Health World Organization declared her electrosensitivity and sworn affidavits of persons attesting to the physical harm caused on myself by exposure to electricity and to my mental stability. However, the federal judge fabricated testimony and medical evidence to dismiss the case. Evidence on the record proves the collusion of this judge with the Texas Attorney General, now the Governor of Texas, to commit fraud on the courts and to conceal the harm being caused on children by the radiation school. On the year 2016, the Texas Attorney General filed a lawsuit to put me in jail using fraudulent court orders to claim falsely that I failed to pay child support. On a hearing in which I was allowed to appear by phone, the Texas Attorney General admitted the seriousness and legitimacy of my electrosensitivity. And in response to my counter lawsuit, the Texas Attorney General admitted using the fraudulent support orders to put me in jail, knowing that because of my life-threatening electrosensitivity, incarceration is for me a death sentence, and admitted his attempts to conceal with my murder the collusion of the Governor of Texas with more than 25 judges to conceal that a massive medical malpractice and a massive Medicaid and Medicare fraud are in use to conceal the harm being caused on children by the microwave radiation school, to conceal that the governor lowered the academic standards and concealed the increasing number of children suffering of disabilities and allowed the fabrication of grades, to conceal that the microwave radiation, it is causing severe physical harm to the children's brains and bodies, and that this radiation is responsible for the increasing number of children suffering or life-threatening and terminal illnesses, and to conceal that the future of our children and the future of our country and our national security are being sold to the wireless industrial complex. My criminal complaint submitted to the U.S. Attorney General details the collusion of the Governor of Texas with the state and federal agents and prosecutors to conceal that government-sponsored bullying is provoking mass shootings and other acts of terrorism against children and against other innocent victims. And basically, what I wanted to, I wanted to offer some solutions to this problem, because I have been in essence detailing the nature of this tribulation and the problem. But basically, what I'm trying to do, it is submitting to our legislators a list of proposed legislation, and so that has several purposes. One, so they know, and they know already, but this is to confirm that they know what is happening to ourselves and to our children. And basically, if they wanna, if they asking them to support this proposed legislation, and this is submitted with supporting evidence. The first piece of legislation is compelling the training of doctors and medical students on electrosensitivity, because they don't know and they don't want to know. Legislation to prevent that children under 7 years of age, including unborn children and children suffering from life-threatening health conditions, be exposed to harmful radiation. Legislation criminalizing misdiagnosing, mismedicating, and mistreating children and others suffering from electrosensitivity. Legislation to prevent that children and teachers suffering from electrosensitivity be exposed to harmful radiation at school. Legislation to prevent that children and others suffering from electrosensitivity be involuntarily committed and or subjected to forced medication. Legislation criminalizing malicious attempts to expose children and others suffering from electrosensitivity to wireless radiation. Legislation criminalizing malicious attempts to conceal the harm caused on children and others by exposure to radiation. Legislation criminalizing bullying. Legislation criminalizing the participation of students, teachers, professors, counselors, and school and other government agents on the attempts to conceal that bullying is provoking mass shootings and other acts of violence and terrorism. Legislation criminalizing as an act of terrorism bullying that provokes a mass shooting or other violence. Legislation criminalizing bullying against the disabled and against whistleblowers and others who denounce government corruption. Legislation criminalizing attempts by those engaged in bullying to recover damages caused by bullying. Legislation to criminalize possession and or use of an electronic radiation weapon. Legislation criminalizing the use of wireless radiation surveillance on children and others suffering from electrosensitivity. Legislation to train police departments to process and investigate complaints of bullying and radiation aggressions. Legislation to compel the executive to investigate and to prosecute complaints of retaliatory bullying and radiation aggression. Legislation to compel the executive to disclose the identity of whistleblowers and others who denounce government corruption and which are now the subject of investigations or radiation surveillance. Legislation to prevent involuntary commitment or forced medication based on claims of bullying and radiation surveillance. Legislation to prevent that the FISA court operates in secrecy when its warrants for investigation includes radiation surveillance targeting the electrosensitivity of people who denounce government corruption. Legislation to identify the CIA operatives in American soil. And in other words, to identify those who are manipulating the courts, who are manipulating the school officials, and who are manipulating the doctors to conceal the atrocities being committed against our kids and others. Legislation criminalizing collusions between federal and state agents with members of the judiciary to conceal retaliation against the disabled and against whistleblowers and others who denounce government corruption. Legislation to protect police officers and other emergency responders from the harm caused by exposure to the microwave radiation emitted by the wireless devices. And that's it, sir. That's basically some of the proposed legislation that I'm attempting to put into a package. So individually or in group, we can submit to our legislators, and basically this sounds like a wish list, but it has the main purpose is to let them know that we know what's happening to us, and basically putting the ball on their park. And now if they don't do anything to protect our kids and ourselves, now it can be their election of duty. But basically, that's what I have, sir. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Do you what do you call this? Do you call this no touch? Is this what they call no touch electronic surveillance? Is this what that's called? Or I know that they're targeting you and they're doing it with the microwave. How would you explain if somebody said, well, most people when I talk to some of the TIs, they tell us about the no touch electronic surveillance that they use it. Would you classify yourself as being part of that no-touch surveillance group?
Well, you know, this surveillance has been described by the government and by scientists as a physical aggression because it bounces radiation from the target, but it goes through walls and it can be long-term. And in other words, it has to go, like, for example, the radiation can be emitted by satellite, by aerial, by a plane or drone, and even land-based. You know, someone may have a radiation surveillance device around your place. But that radiation has to bounce back into the source to retrieve on a video screen everything that the target and his family is doing. Now, long-term surveillance is like cooking alive the whole family. Mm. Because, as I explained, the government's position is that this radiation is harmless. But electrosensitivity proves conclusively that they lying to us and that they're using this radiation, in essence, to retaliate against the disabled and to... and against those who denounce government corruption. In essence, basically what they're trying to do is to put in place this massive radiation surveillance and to be able to monitor everyone's movements at all times. In essence, and that's basically what they're doing under the excuse of national security in schools. After they provoked the mass shootings and all this violence, they're using that as an excuse to use military-grade surveillance on kids inside the schools under the excuse to prevent another mass shooting. Now, they're talking about, and they do already in some places, putting non-lethal weapons to disable anybody that it is about to cause problems inside the school. And in other words, they're using supersonic or sonic weapons and other types of radiation to disable the children and in case of any danger. So, you know, basically what they're trying to do, it is to justify not only the expansion of the Patriot Act, but the expansion of the Patriot Act, it is not to protect the people from acts of terrorism. It is basically to make it easier to justify the massive development of radiation surveillance and to benefit the wireless industrial complex, which it is a $1 trillion industry. So basically, that, and after this, I mean, the crimes are being committed by those in charge of protecting and educating our children, and that is the federal government. And the good thing about this is that we have the evidence. We are not talking about allegations. Anybody can go to this website. Wirelesswatchblog.org. If you go to the case law materials and Jay Mendoza, you can look up at the documents. One of the most important documents, it is the very first one, the one posted on September of the year 2019, and the one posted on March of 2020, A and B. And that provides a better detail of what I'm saying here. And here is just a brief description. But I can tell you, I'm not dealing with allegations. The evidence is specific, concrete, and undisputed. And that includes medical, scientific, and legal evidence on the record.
Wow, that's tremendous. Let me ask you another question. One of the things that's important, I know how this electronic, this microwave attack women sexually. I've heard all kinds of stories about how this, how they attack the women and how they make them feel and stuff like that. Do that occur to a man? Have they ever attacked a man sexually like that, or do they attack you on that level?
Well, thank you for this is a God-made question, sir, because last year I sent documents to the New York Police Department explaining how the microwave radiation that they're using, it is actually actually increasing the rate of suicide. It is causing brain damage, but also it is frying their testicles. Okay, and I submitted evidence showing that out of 55 police officers that were using laptops or the same radiation emitted by a laptop, 53 had to be castrated. And by the time they went to Congress for a study, the number had increased to 186. Okay, right after, I started getting a lot of pain on my genitals to the point that I could not cover my testicles because of the swelling with both hands, and I was losing skin, and I was able to take pictures only of the parts that I can publish, and how my all over my waist I was losing skin, horrible thing, you know. Now, I could not find the source until later on. I was using an infrared camera, and right on the ceiling of my place, there were hot spots directly above my waist, okay? Because this radiation, it is difficult to detect, and that is the purpose. They're not using radiation that most people can detect. Otherwise, everybody will know what is happening to them. But thanks God, you know, I do have the proof that it was retaliatory after I submitted the evidence to the police departments how the same radiation that is killing our kids in school, it is also killing police officers and other people. So, you know, thank you for the question.
Wow, you know, and let me ask you this last one, which I think I know you know Amy Anderson from Richmond, California. You do know her, is that correct?
I talked to her. I talked to the nice lady. And before I forget, I wanted to basically ask, you know, people to be compassionate and try to understand everyone that complains of bullying and radiation aggression, because in most cases, targets of these aggressions are so impaired that they may look incoherent, they may be speculating, But that's not what is happening to them. The thing is that the purpose of bullying and the radiation surveillance is to do just that. So your family can become your best enemy, because the first thing they think is that you're losing your mind. So I'm asking, you know, the congregations to be compassionate, to be understanding, and try to do the research, to try to and to support those playing a bullying and radiation aggressions, because what is happening to them may be already happening to other people and their children, and they don't even know, because they don't have the means to do that. And in essence, the government is trying to discredit people that complain over radiation surveillance so they can continue these atrocities unaddressed and undeterred. And thank you for allowing me, sir.
Let me ask you another question too, because I think it's important how they separate you from the family. One of the things that I heard was that any time that you have a support of your family, they try to figure out a way how to divide or separate you from the family. A lot of times they even say you're crazy enough for them to put you in an institution. And I like what you just said, which is so important. And some of my TIs as listening, probably more than half of my listeners are TIs. And I want them to know that, you know, they have a friend in me. And I know they have a friend in you too, Jesse. They also have a friend in Amy.
Thank
Amy,
you, sir.
Amy Anderson. And what we want to do, we want to make sure that if they need someone, they have us to support them and to understand what is going on. Because the first thing they say is that you're nuts, you're crazy, you should be in a crazy house, you should be in a nut house. They say all kind of things. And deep down inside, it's the government. Well, here's what they do. They get these colleges like even the MIT, Harvard, the University of Michigan, Michigan State University. They supply them with grant money to also go out and do this type of work. That way, their hands are clean. Well, it's not clean, but it's clean in their eyes. Because they're able to go out and say that what you think is happening to you is not happening. You're just nuts. And that's the language that they want to make sure that everybody understands that even your family, she's crazy, it's just her imagination. The government would never do that or never allow that. And how they do it most of the time, I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time they use the universities to go out and get them this grant money, millions and millions of dollars, to go out and torture people, and they do it for the money. And this is what people don't really understand. Most people can't believe it. They're not like that. They're just like that. Every single person in this world is expendable, because the evil empire, what they want to do, they're trying to do something. Here's something a lot of people didn't know. During the Iraq war, when Saddam and his group, when the United States went over to Iraq, they had the Iraq army to drop their weapons. Never. So this is what these people live for, the fight. These are warriors. They fight it to death, you see. But not one single shot was fired. Every last one of them guys dropped their gun. That was done by electronics. That's what the expendment, what they're spending on you, they're using it in warfare. That's what they're doing. This is what's happening today. Even what happened in Cuba, when they went there, and these were Americans that they put this electronic stuff on and caused them to be this way. Ear infection, most of them going nuts and stuff like that, and they did it in China too. But look, I really, really appreciate you. I think you're not one of them just fly by night guys. You know, you're well educated, and you document everything, and they can go to your website and get some information. And what I want you to do, I want you to repeat that website 2-3 times so people can write it out. You can get your pen and pencil and go to the website and find out exactly what's going on, and you can see the truth because it's right there in front of your face. Give me that website, and on that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight to you, but give up that website. Give it to us 3 times and do it slow so people can understand it and pick it up.
Yes, sir. The website, it is Wireless Watch Blog, B as in boy, L-O-G, .org. It is Wireless Watch Blog, B-L-O-G, .org. You look at the right there, you have to go to the Case Law Materials in J. Mendoza. And the very first document, it is divided in 2 parts. And then you go to the one posted on September of 2019. And then on the ones posted on 2020, March A and B. And there are other documents that may be helpful to parents to protect their kids. And like I said, we're not dealing with allegations. We have conclusive evidence of these atrocities. And thank you, Pastor, for being an angel and a life-saving angel.
And thank you, Jesse, for giving us this information so people can understand that this stuff is actually happening to people. And on that note, hey, I want you to stay safe, be careful out there, Take care of your family, and give me a call later on during the week. Let's talk some more. On that note,
yes, sir.
I'm going to have
thank you,
all
sir.
All right now. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to have to bring in my good friend from Detroit, Michigan. And he got quite a story to tell. Those of you who are out there and don't believe that the police department, law enforcement, actually hire other people to kill people, and they normally get away with it. But here's the case. Mr. Lee has stumbled onto something that's very, very cruel. I knew it was happening, but I didn't have nobody who would say it was happening. I knew that, you know, that they was killing people in Detroit, and they was putting the blame on someone who actually didn't do the killing. People are serving life in prison today for a crime they never committed. And one of the things they used to do, if you're a drug dealer or something like that, they would accuse you of murder. And you may not even know anything about the murder, but they always got an informant who would come in and testify that they saw you shoot this guy. And if they say that, with the jury system that we have today, you're going to prison probably for the rest of your life. So on that note, I want to bring in my good friend Lee. Talk to me, Lee. Tell us what's going on with you. And you can start it. Anyway, is this guy that was killing all those people, have he died yet, or is he still alive, or what?
Well, right now, he actually he done burnt down his house, so now it's a situation where a lot of people don't know where he's at. I'm sure the police know where he's at. But the thing what they're even more spooked of is the fact that a lot of the people who was victims of this group, well, I got a lot of their family members to come to my trial. They willing to come.
Mm-hmm.
And now the family members who actually know the truth, they like, well, we already knew that they had a hand in killing my people, but we was trying to figure out why they was never charged.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you're going to find out. Just come to my court. When I have trial, make sure you be there. So a lot of the families now is coming to the trial.
Okay.
Of these victims. And they know the truth. You know, to the point, a lot of the new information and everything that I've been getting been coming from this family, the different
mm-hmm.
family members. And a lot of them know that how everybody, the little group is linked together, linked together and everything. So they was like, you know what? We going to come to your trial because we ain't finna let it go down like this. We actually got somebody that's willing to bring it forward, and now we want to see how the government going to look at it now. It's one thing y'all been doing it and getting away with it, but it's another thing when you got these family members sitting up in here like, nah, we already know who did that. So y'all
mm-hmm.
can't try to come up with nothing new on him, because the people that's testifying against him is the ones that killed my family. So, yeah, it's going to be a messy situation, one that
well,
they didn't
you know,
think.
Here's what I want you to do. Think about this for a second. They know that you know. So they have to figure out a way now how to not allow the information you have into the trial. And
which is true.
If the judge, and that's why, which is, this is important now. That's why it's important to send it out, especially to the news media. See, the news media already know. You see, but they play both sides of the fence. They already know that these people, that the law enforcement is behind a lot of these murders. They have their informants go out and kill people. They have their informants to go out and plant drugs on people. We know about the informants always got, you know, they go out and buy drugs from a person. They know all this. But the point is, the public, if they do know it, they don't want to know it. You see, the public don't want to know nothing like that because they always think it's never going to happen to them. None of this stuff is going to happen to me. This is what the world thinks right now. even with this virus out here, think they're not going to get it.
Well,
but
I don't know why.
It's so amazing to me. Listen to me, Lee. This is crucial. You know, you got to figure out a way how you're going to get it. Because even your attorney, when the judge tell him that he's not going to allow this in, at first he goes, well, what does it have to do with Lee? Well, Lee does. And then what you have to say, Lee didn't do anything. This is the same guy that's been making this stuff up all along. And he's a killer. He done killed six
yeah.
people. He killed people in this family, killed people in this family, killed people in this family. You have to be able to deal with, because I know how these people operate. When it comes to the prosecutor, it comes to these people, what they do is that they figure out a way how to not let stuff in. They're going to help you. That's how they do. But if you have a family there, and y'all have a family sitting right behind that prosecutor, so when he turn around, he look right in their face, and you know he lying, you keep that pressure on him. And you're going to have to keep
mm-hmm.
that pressure on your attorney. Because I tell you, they will switch horses in the middle of the race in a minute.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that I do know. That's why I made sure I told the attorney, I say, well, I'm going to need you to subpoena the entire federal grand jury witness list.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that came and made a statement during the federal grand jury, I need them back
mm-hmm.
in court.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you need to understand is by me already, you being my attorney and me already bringing this information to your attention of all of these witnesses, because I know who it is, because they're telling on each other. They're
yeah,
telling on each
absolutely.
Other to prevent me. Hey, look, go ahead and make a deal on this person, man, so you ain't got to go to trial and this all ain't got to come out. And I'm like, well, damn, how do you know about my case if you ain't a part
yeah.
of the case?
Absolutely.
Well, this person, you know, that person them said something, or that person, oh, so y'all all telling on each other now because y'all trying to prevent the trial. So this is where it all come in at, and what one of the ways that I was thinking. By my attorney already, because I already know he's been communicating with this prosecutor.
You know, the guy that killed those six people, and then shot himself in that backyard. Now,
uh-huh.
I think that's a big deal. You know, because now we know that the families know that this guy killed members of his family. So,
I got to tell you something that's going to blow your mind even more on that.
Talk to me.
Six people ain't the only one he killed. He killed way more than six people. One of the people that he killed was his own brother and tried to blame it on somebody else that was robbing him.
He killed his own brother?
Yep. They didn't bring that up in the media, but the entire Southwest Detroit knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows it. Like, a guy came to me, he was like, man, you know he killed his own brother? I said, man, I've been knew that. I just never knew his name. I just knew him as KB. But
mm-hmm.
I've been knew he killed his brother. And they was like, how the hell am I just not saying, man, listen, y'all ain't understanding. All these guys that's doing all this killing out here and all of that, they're all informants, man. Y'all ain't paid
yeah.
attention yet? I'm like, how am I... I don't even be in the neighborhood, and how am I knowing all of this? And y'all don't know it.
Mm.
So it's other murders that he was involved in, but the thing is, they ain't going to bring them up, because if they bring up the other murders, it's going to lead to the other informants, the ones that's on my case and everything like that. So they're going to put on the media six people. Well,
mm-hmm.
what about all these other murders that he was involved in, that he was doing, and the people who was killing with him was informants? They still out here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, these are the things they don't want to be brought up. You know, they don't want these situations to be brought up, because now it's like, how can we figure out a way to convict this guy with none of this coming out in front of his jury? But it's got to come out. I mean, you know, it's. I've been trust and believe me. At one point in time, they got to give me a chance to speak. And at that moment, hey, I hope they prepared to hear what they about to hear.
But you got to, so you got to be prepared for it now, because they will, you know, like, you know, these guys, the judge and this prosecutor, they're slick. They, you know, when you start talking and say, well, strike that from the records, you know, they'll do that in a minute. And yet and still you haven't got out what you wanted to get out. You see, but you got to tell, you got to have a list of questions to give to your attorney and let your attorney ask the question, and then you do it that way. Let's say he don't. Well, this is what you should be doing right now. You should make a list of questions that you want your attorney to ask you, and you're going to take the stand. If you're going to take the stand, you got to be prepared for these questions that your attorney asks you. When he asks you a question,
mm-hmm.
you already know the answer. You already know what you're going to say, and you got to say it. That's crucial.
Right.
You got to say it. So I think that's where you should be. I've been court watching for over 20 years, and I know, like here down in Berrien County, the judge and the prosecutor, they all work together, and their job is to make sure that they convict you. And they don't care nothing about no evidence, you see, because when you have, most of the time, if you have an all-white jury, you got a 99.9% chance of being found guilty. You see, that's why I always go to trial. I always give them a chance to shoot their best shot. Then they usually get overturned in the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court. That, you know, and I'm willing to take a hit, you know, until then. But I believe that you got a whole different set of rules that you're going to have to deal with. Your case is too important. This is one of the most important cases in the whole state of Michigan. Because this exposed them for who they are, you see. See, I know who they are. I know that most law enforcement are a bunch of lying, you know. I know what they do, you know. But unfortunately, we got more people inside the prison system that shouldn't be in there, that's in there. And I don't want you to go, but, you know, we just have to get ourselves prepared, talk about it, and so we can be prepared to go. But here's what you need to do. Start writing out questions that you want your attorney to ask you. That way,
right,
you can be prepared when you get up there. You can have 100 questions that you want him to ask you. You see what I'm saying? But you have to make sure that you're ready and ready to do so. Look, we only got a couple more minutes. I'm going to let you talk. You tell us what you want us to know.
Well, at the moment, you know, it's again, I'm going to need it as much as possible on it. I'm trying to get it would be beautiful if I had some feds that they ain't agreements with these guys dealing with these Michigan ones, especially Southeast Michigan. But that's what we're dealing with right now. So
absolutely.
With that, you know, because it's major corruption. So me, I ain't finna fold. That's one thing about it. I'm not finna fold. I'm going to do everything possible to make sure this get out.
Absolutely.
Because I know once it get out, there ain't nothing they can say after that.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is bigger than life. This is, you know, this is really big, because most people would never believe that the police got informers on their payroll that actually out here killing people. And I told you, I said this back in 2000. See, this is when I was telling people this back in 2000. I was telling people about, you know, about law enforcement. They all picked me crazy. You know, he knows that law enforcement is not going. Law enforcement would do anything. I'm surprised they haven't tried to kill you.
Oh, they've been trying. Don't think they haven't.
Yeah. Cause this is too much, Lee. This could bust they juice bottle wide open.
And they don't see the thing is they know it's going to flood their courtroom, because a lot of people they done gave up and they done put false charges and everything on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things they don't want is if he brings all of this up, that means a lot of people finna come back a lot of people who was framed for murders and forced to take plea bargains on cases. It's there's no way. We got to bring them back. We can't deny it because now he done exposed the whole situation.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I have been doing was this, by me knowing everybody, the CI numbers that is in my case, some of the attorneys that I do know, I say, you know what, let me send this file to y'all too, because I'm sure these cases probably came up through y'all file, these numbers. And now I'm going to help y'all get y'all people back. So it ain't just me. You know, y'all know y'all going to do what y'all want to do, but I'm going to make sure other people get back in court, not just me. And that's their biggest fear, because I got a few attorneys that already don't like what's going on, other, you know, than mine. And the crazy thing about it, like I say, you know, I got a brother attorney, but it was a white attorney that actually told me the way of going about it.
No, absolutely.
He's like, you know, he's like, hey, I want you to go about it this way, that way, that way. He said, I know I can't give you a whole lot of advice on it, but get them. Don't let them keep getting away with this.
Absolutely. And make sure you be organized when you get in that courtroom, because the first thing the prosecutor is going to say, that what does this have to do with what you did? Then you have to explain to him that there was nothing done and this guy is making this stuff up, and that's how you deal with it. And that's how you're going to get him to come testify. But look, I got to let you go. I just ran out of time. And I tell you, I'm going to try to get you on every week, so that way you can expose these people for who they are, and then people can hear it from your lips, and they don't have to hear it from my lips. But you know, the truth will stand. I don't care who you are, what you are. The truth will stand, and a lie will have to lie down. So we got to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. Attack these people the way they're supposed to be attacked, and make them either put up or shut up. That's what I believe in. Well, look, here's another thing. This virus, now don't think this is a joke. This virus is the real deal in the black community. So you stay focused and stay safe, because I've been telling people this for the last month. Make sure that you take vitamin C and D and some zinc to build up your immune system to fight this. On that note, I got to say goodnight, everybody. And next week, same time, same station.